Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Well, I'm so excited. It's almost Christmas time, and I think Santa might be coming any minute now. Santa! Oh, you're right, Santa. Come in. We're just recording the pod shambles. Okay.
Have you... Hi, George.
Hi, Santa. I'm Laurie, but come on. Hi. Come and sit down and do a Christmas shambles with us.
The
fire's going. You can hear the wind.
I've trailed it all through the house.
Well, that's okay. What's that attached to your
leg? Can I sit down?
Would you want to brush off all the...
My piles are killing me.
Yeah, they're kind of spreading.
Hello.
Are you sleeping? I don't have so much of a beard. It's just kind of... feces and blood smeared around your face.
It's not my blood.
Your feces,
the blood of the last child. Now, what is it? Happy Christmas.
Santa. Christmas to you too.
How has your year been?
Really good. This is not what I expected. My cup of tea.
I'll have that. Thank you.
Okay, you can actually have that. You're dripping stuff.
It's too hot.
You're not what I expected when I wanted Santa for Podsham. I paid a lot of money for you.
Paid too much. I'm not good at my job.
Because this is an absolute Christmas shambles. Hello and welcome to a very Christmassy shambles indeed. I hope you're well and sitting comfortably by the fire. I'm just waiting for Paddy. He's gone missing yet again. Hopefully he'll turn up in a second. We've got lots of... Hello, Paddy? Oh, Santa's come back. He's just coughed off a small dog onto my carpet.
Oh, you thought I was just for the intro, didn't you?
What have you done with Paddy?
I went outside and came back in.
Yeah,
Paddy's dead.
Well, it's good to have
I
you
shot him with my Christmas gun.
I'm sorry that I interrupted you earlier.
Oh, Laurie,
clearly
it's a joy. It's a joy to
be... Are you spreading cheer and joy for all the girls and boys?
I've been spreading something, but I think it's catching whatever
it's contagious.
It's fire. That's what I've been spreading.
Leprosy.
No, Laurie, it's been... What can I say? It's been such a year. It's been such a...
Hang on,
so
you just spat this on me.
That's lovely. Is
that a whole soother?
That is an entire whole
packet of soul soothers.
Oh, they don't make them like they used to. Back in my day, they had opiates in them. And now I just have to...
When was your day, Santa?
My day was jolly Saint Nick. Oh, 201 BC.
201, that's...
Back then, of course, we just...
It wasn't
201.
What do you mean? How do you know it's got a 201, Santa?
Oh, I'm Christmas. I'm Father Christmas. I know all, and I see all. What you don't know about me is that I'm actually very ill.
I think I've just about gathered.
So, Lawrence, how has your Christmas been
far? It's been okay, but why don't I take off this beard?
Ah, I'm still him. Sorry, look, I've got so many
things. I thought I was going to be our Scooby-Doo moment, and you...
No, Scooby is dead. Yeah, so is the rest of the gang. They all went missing in a Christmas adventure that I...
It's not true. I carefully orchestrated.
They went to another abandoned shitting amusement park.
What do you want?
I've come to bring you all your presents.
Okay, what have you got for me?
Well, first, got you this half of a capybara.
Oh, nice.
I hit with my sleigh on the way through Brazil.
That's going over
there.
Okay. I actually slapped when it hit the floor. It's so wet.
Oh, yeah. It's very... it's still alive. And what else? I got you this lead pipe.
Good.
It's like Cluedo.
Oh, that's got a lovely bit of... It looks like tetanus on there.
It has. It's rust from my own...
Look, Sam, I think it's going to be best... Your own what? What were you going to say?
I don't know. My Christmas ass.
I think it's best if you fuck.
I don't think the
girls and boys want to hear you.
I've got a lot of kids.
Spread
to
your
see.
Pus
a lot,
everywhere.
A lot of people
don't go anywhere near the kids. Remember that restraining.
Oh, I know, but it's like
fuck
I've
off.
Got, Christmases fuck off, are coming, and you know I'm going to go. And,
so are you?
I'm going to go and oh god, no, that's an age-old joke. I don't. Oh, I've shit myself. No.
Goodbye, Santa. Take your Christmas pudding away.
Take your
horrible little Christmas bum pudding.
I'll be back on your birthday. It's Father's birthday.
Good.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Hello?
My shoes.
Oh, no!
I can't take these shit. Oh, God. Oh, they've got bells on them and all. Oh, God.
It's a Christmas jingle, it's a Christmas jingle. Everyone's happy with the Christmas jingle. Little Chris jingle.
Santa's been sick on the carpet again. Finally, you made it, Paddy. I'm so glad.
It is holly and it is Christmas and all the Christmases in my bath. All my shoes are lined by the fireplace and the stockings are hanging low. And my balls are getting larger. Oh my God, it's really bad.
Christmas,
buy me a sleigh. Buy me a motherfucking sleigh. Put me on the sleigh. Drive me to the moon. Presents for the kids.
Put your baubles away.
I know.
Welcome back. I'm so glad you missed St. Nick. He would have loved that song.
Oh no, I've heard he is a great... character.
He wasn't wearing a single bit of red other than the blood smeared across his face.
Oh, he's so classic.
Not Christmas at all. How are you? Welcome back.
Oh, welcome back.
Merry Christmas!
Merry fucking Christmas. This is our Pod Shambles Christmas.
We're recording this on Christmas Eve. Right?
Only
about 2 days before. And you are almost spending Christmas with me again.
Yeah.
But I'm going to have to shove you out of the house just in time.
I am staying at your parents' house tonight. We're going out for dinner with your folks. It's just lovely. It's going to become a yearly tradition,
Christmas.
It's just Christmas.
Yeah, but there's going to be the inevitable time when, you know, you sleep with my wife or something. Yeah. I'm going to have to... It's going to be awkward if we do that again.
Yeah, well, all...
Or is it going to be that you'll go to my parents and I'll go somewhere else?
No, I think you're going to grow up to have, like... going to grow up.
One day, I can't get any taller. I'm fucking big enough as it is.
No, you'll have like a perfect family unit and you'll have like a beautiful wife and all these wonderful kids.
Fuck
and then every Christmas morning for the rest of your life there'll be this bang at the door.
Hello!
And I fall in with my like torn ligaments and like, you know, being sick and all this.
No, hang on, you're not Saint Nick. I think you just turn up, but you're dressed in quite a nice suit, but you're just unspeakably horrible.
Yeah, I'm really drunk and it's quite nasty.
Jimmy, have you ever seen your parents fuck? Because I have.
I have. To listen to them through the walls of our flat.
Are you going to
call one of your kids Timmy? Or am I just going to assume that?
You're going to be like, Timmy, my name's Rufus. No, Timmy.
It's Jennifer. She's a girl.
Yeah. But it's very exciting. And God, I can't wait for Christmas to happen.
I know.
The shoes, as you said in your song.
Yeah.
Can we wait?
No.
But we're going to have to.
Well, I think like every year I seem to get into the spirit of it later on. And I'm not a Scrooge by any means.
You take a bit of time to warm up to Christmas.
I love Christmas. But now that I'm busier and I work harder than I used to when I was younger, obviously. Like, it's now like...
Because now you work.
Like, I haven't yet keyed into it. Like, basically, in 2 hours when you and I go and meet your folks, that's when Christmas...
It's going to kick in. You're going to get a big hit of Christmas heroin.
Yeah, exactly.
Knock
you. When they're going to give me all the presents.
Well, I'm really sorry to say, mate, but I'm going to have to go out into town before the end of this because I haven't got your Christmas present yet.
Sorry,
it's not going to be that thoughtful
that's
fuck you, what have you got me?
Oh mate, I have got you. I'm not going to tell you.
Is it an ice cream scoop? Because I've been wanting one for so long. I've been going on about it for a long time. Got me an ice cream scoop.
No.
Oh, what I wanted!
No, I can't. I can't say what I've got you.
Okay.
I really want to tell them what I've got you, but it is real.
Do you know what? Because you're editing this over Christmas, you could always put it in then. And then I wouldn't know.
I've got to edit it tomorrow, so hang on.
So then I have to promise not to listen to it before I open my Christmas present.
Yeah, of course. I mean, okay, so what we're going to do now is... I'm going to say... You're going to say, what have...
What have I got for Christmas, Paddy?
Well, Laurie, I got you...
a hardback copy of the Encyclopedia of Early Earth by Isabel Greenberg. And, check this out, a signed print from the latest issue of The Walking Dead, signed by Charlie Adlard, who's the artist. And I've got that framed in like a poplar frame, and it's like properly done up. And he has no idea.
Oh!
Yeah, just what you always wanted.
But I haven't unwrapped it and I don't know what it is, but that sounds great.
Oh, it's going to be great.
I've never heard of one of those, and from China.
Do you reckon it's going to be that big?
Oh, hopefully small enough to fit in my back pocket.
Good.
Or my ass.
Good, great. Well, I'm glad you like it. What have you got me?
Oh, well, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I've got to find out.
Oh, no, I can't then put in what you've got.
No, that's the thing. But, you know, luckily enough, I've been sent a really helpful little quiz for Christmas. And it's called...
A quiz for Christmas.
I mean, it's next door to Are You Bananas for Bananas, which is the quiz which I almost did.
Oh, we have to do
instead.
That.
Instead... But it's not very festive, really. Bananas aren't the most festive of
fruit. I don't give a shit. I am bananas
yeah,
for
that's
bananas.
The thing, you don't need to do it. I found a little...
bananas for bananas
I found a little quiz on a slightly classier cousin to our good old friend Quiz Farm.
Right.
Where they grow up little quizzes from root vegetables.
Yep.
Full-grown Demi Lovato quizzes.
Oh.
And this is called... it's going to help me out enormously. What should you get your girl for Christmas? And I thought I could use it to work out what to get you, because you're my... You're my girl, my gal pal.
Oh, I thought that was a stab at us both being crushingly lonely.
Oh, no. Now come to think of it, it is.
Oh, we always got each other.
We're going to have to pretend that we're buying stuff for our girlfriends and then just give it to each other.
But our girlfriends are sort of the spitting image of the other one of us. I am going to marry a bearded woman.
I love you, man. But if I married you... But
I'd make her quite attractive girl.
Yeah, it's not the attraction, mate. Don't worry. I could, you know, you'd be a great trophy wife. I just don't think I could cope with it. I said it'd be too similar.
Oh, and it'd be weird when I
you'd
then
want,
show up at Christmas.
Yeah, and then it'd just be you and you. No, but like, because I'd need to...
Plus one of me's enough.
Basically, I need probably a woman who's going to tell me off when I do really silly things, right? Like, that's what you do. You kind of keep each other in check in a functioning relationship.
Yeah.
And I think if it was just you, you'd let me get up to all sorts of shit I shouldn't be doing.
That's probably true.
Sitting around in my pants playing Destiny and, you know... bum wanking myself with a beehive.
But she's too similar to me. I think I'd kill her.
Yeah, really jealous as well.
Yeah, no, I'd get really jealous and then I'd kill her and then I'd go to jail and then you'd be lonely.
And then I'd have not even my wife that's like you.
And I'd implicate you in the murder.
Anyway, what should I get my girl for Christmas?
Okay, alright, okay. Are you quizzing me? Is that... Or would you like me to quiz you?
Yeah, well, I kind of need to know what to get you, so you need to ask me the questions, I guess.
Okay.
Sorry, I've got this
I'll ask you the questions.
Okay.
On the caveat that we do, if this quiz is quite short, we do a couple more, because I really want to know if I am truly bananas for bananas.
Bananas.
Okay.
Question one. Do you like bananas?
Do you like bananas? How's that bananas?
No, not really.
Mate, it's going to be great. Okay. Okay, this looks wonderful. With Christmas fast approaching, you may be confused about shopping for that special lady in your life.
That's me.
If so, take this quiz and let us do the shopping for you.
What, they do it for me?
Oh, is this going to be one of those things where it's like, hey, here's a link to the thing you should get? We'll see, I
really
guess.
Hope. All right. It's a big old sex toy. And
Sorry, that's my quiz voice.
Okay. Welcome to Quiz.
Which of the... Question one.
Mm-hmm.
Which of these
as
words...
A
yeah, as is tradition. Christmas tradition. Which of these words would best describe your girl's personality? It's multiple choice, okay? As always. Is it geeky?
Yeah.
Sweet?
No.
Feisty? Or spirited?
Spirited?
Is like drunk?
Like a horse?
Yeah.
Or spirited in the pity? I mean, geeky is what it's probably leaning towards, but I it's too easy for you.
Yeah, that's the thing.
So I'm going to go for feisty, because you've got a head of a temper.
I've got a hell of a temper.
I don't think I've ever heard you raise your voice like at anyone who didn't really deserve it.
Mm.
And even then, only kind of indirectly anyway.
Yeah, I prefer backhanded comments.
You prefer
really,
really
long,
psychologically damaging
exactly.
statements.
Stuff that takes 6 months to pull off, but
it's
so worth it.
You're looking fat today, and just repeatedly over like months and months.
Exactly,
kills
or like
themselves.
Leaving onions in their clothes and stuff like that. Where they're like, oh, where are all these onions coming from? It was I!
Turn up at their door, dresses an onion with a knife, and
yeah.
like, jump out the window.
Me and my clever shallot gags. Anyway, right, are you going to go with feisty?
That's shallot.
That's shallot. I wonder how many times we've made that joke.
Too many.
All right, feisty. Option C. Okay. Next question. Okay, all right. What does your significant other do to stay in shape?
Oh.
Now be this tread
might
be, carefully
This
here.
Might be a tricky question.
One, wanking. Two, more wanking. Okay. A, not much. It's her brain that I love.
But that's also implies not much. She's a fat old shit.
Yeah, and I hate her because of it. But I like her brain.
I guess her brain's okay. Because, God, that's the only thing
I care about. Yeah, not much. It's her brain that I love.
Wow.
She plays very aggressive sports.
Definitely not you.
Okay, energetic lovemaking is her favourite exercise.
Yes.
Wink.
Yes.
Dancing is her most rigorous activity. Or option E, yoga. Yoga.
Wow.
Pilates.
I think, you know, judging from my experience with you, it's a good old rag.
Good old rag. Energetic love.
Because there's no, you don't do any of the others of those ever.
We did have.
Unless aggressive sports includes like Smash Bros.
This might be too personal, and feel free to tell me to cut this if you want. But we had a very funny conversation the other day with Chloe. Do you remember when we talked about how we'd all heard each other having sex?
Oh, yeah, yeah, because our flat is quite small.
And right? we were all the best of friends, so we were like, oh, I remember the other night when, like, and it was...
Don't say it like that!
It was last March!
I remember the other night when you guys tried anal for the first time.
Oh, my God!
And I heard the little... And I remember thinking,
word.
Yeah, that's not the conversation.
It wasn't that.
It was like, we may have heard of each other like twice.
Yeah, it
in
was
the whole
like
time
joshing, having a bit of fun, but Chloe was so uncomfortable with it. Because
they've never had sex since, we know.
And they don't have sex anymore, so, wow. Energetic lovemaking. Right.
Where are you going to go with that?
I don't know.
Just that was a conversation we had, and there's name check. You know, the girl who was really embarrassed by that conversation.
No, I just thought it was an interesting thing. I think that you need to have a close circle of friends that you can talk about sex with.
Oh, definitely
I think this is maybe quite... I don't mean this to be like a sombering aside, but I find that quite... We talked about that, how that's quite interesting.
No, we talk about our favourite little moves.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing, and people joke about sex all the time. We do as well, but it's really interesting when you actually sit down and have a conversation. You're like,
no, and it's and
so,
it, you know what's
sex.
Really it's yeah,
yeah.
And
it's
do you have those friends who you wouldn't maybe consider your absolute best friends, but you, for some reason you can talk about that kind of shit with them, almost because they're too distant? You
it's
can
like,
be like, oh yeah. Well, my favorite thing is that I like to be, you know, bummed by an amputee wearing a fish hook, and it's like,
of course, like Marilyn Manson, you know, and Julia Sawala.
Question three.
Which of these subjects does she know the most about? Are we going to keep it as a she?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
I think it's best for you.
A, it's math.
It's Beth from The Walking Dead.
That is Beth from The Walking Dead. Math.
Mouth.
B, history. C,
sports.
D,
music. E, cooking. What happened?
Okay.
What was that progression?
It was maths, history, sports, music, cooking.
Cooking! Okay, so let's rule out the ones it's not. Okay, number one, sports.
Yeah, you can safely
probably
rule
out. Not. I mean, you're pretty good at basketball as well.
Pretty good at basketball.
Pretty good at ball, but you've just been so out of action for so long, mate.
Yeah, man.
And you don't really, you know, it's not really one of your focuses.
Too busy building my file of facts.
Too busy
double-handed
wanking.
Yeah.
Cooking, like, you are really a lot better at cooking than you ever have been.
Yeah.
But I still wouldn't call you, like, that's not what you know the most about yet.
I can cook some things.
But absolutely.
I just don't.
Just choose not
I can
to.
Make a mean salmon and a great risotto.
You can make a mean salmon, you get a salmon, you rough him up a bit.
And I am king of breakfast, but I'm never up in time. So,
I don't think you've ever made me breakfast.
Oh, never at breakfast time. I've made you, like, bread.
You made me Brinner.
Yeah,
once.
I've made you Brinner a couple of times.
Maths, I think you're pretty good at. I have no reason
it's
to
one of my strongest
that.
Subjects at school. And being awesome.
I remember you being quite good at maths and history, weirdly. Because we were in our wonderful history teacher, Dr. Zawalski. I don't know if you ever talked about
Dr. Zawalski, yeah.
He was called Dr. Z, and he was a Polish, I think a transplant, but, you know, had lived in England a significantly long time. And it was this wonderful bloke. He must have been in his 60s when he taught us.
Yeah, at least. And he had
this very, like, this kind of beautifully mottled grey beard and glasses.
He was he was like
very tall and imposing, wasn't he?
He'd teach at, like, the Magic University.
And
like Patrick Rothfuss.
Yeah, exactly.
Like.
And he said in our first lesson, he had this wonderful, booming, deep voice. Gentlemen, I would like you to... You may call me Dr. Zawalski or Dr. Z.
Yeah.
And he was Dr. Z from then on.
Yeah.
And he was brilliant because he used to go off and he was so, so knowledgeable, and these lessons were so dense and full of, especially about the gulags, gentlemen. Do you remember the gulags?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, the purges started.
Oh, man,
and
he was amazing.
And
he used to keep...
that bottle in his drawer that was Zbrovka Bison Grass Vodka. Do you remember?
I don't remember that, no.
He had a bottle of vodka that was overlooked by the rest of the staff. Yeah, he'd just take little sips of it, and it was that proper Bison Grass Vodka. Oh, wow. With that and
yeah, I know the one, yeah.
Oh, he was amazing.
What a man.
So I was good at history, thanks to him. And yeah. I think you were as well.
We had such good time.
That was our
class.
First class together, I think.
I think it probably was. We were in G-Set 1 together, weren't we? Yeah. Oh, no, what did you say to?
Oh, I can't remember.
Oh, school
remembrances.
Oh,
school time.
I hated school.
Pass me another flam.
I hate kind of school.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think it's got to be music, hasn't it, really? I mean, I'd be hard-pressed to say that's not what you know the most
about.
Yeah,
exactly. That is my...
And look, she's having such a good time. She's wearing a lovely strappy red top, and she's holding her headphones with her fingertips and singing with her eyes closed, which is what I see you do all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like a bird on my way.
Yeah, exactly. Just to confirm, by the way, there are also pictures with the answers to this quiz.
Yeah.
We might not have mentioned
I'm trying not to let them influence my decision, but she does look an awful lot like...
Well, we're going with music. Okay, what are her favourite kinds of movies?
Okay.
A, musicals.
Yeah, musicals, go. That's definitely your favourite.
B, science fiction or fantasy.
Musicals.
C, action thriller.
Action thriller, musicals.
D, romantic comedies.
Romantic comedy musicals are your favourite.
Oh, they are fantastic, aren't they? Five. Historical
drama. Historical drama musical. Do you remember how much you loved Wolf Hall on Ice?
I hate musicals. I hate them.
King Henry VIII is coming.
It's just everything. It's just, oh, Patrick, where have you been? Dun, dun, dun.
I've been down the supermarket buying some cheese.
Oh, you have another song, do you? I'm so fucking excited.
Where is cheese? Yeah, it's just, no one sings.
I mean, you must instantly know the true answer to this one.
It's rom-com.
Oh, come on.
A rom-com.
I'm not a rom-com man.
You're a rom-com. Your favourite thing is 50 First Dates, number one. Then it's...
Great movie.
Miss Congeniality.
Classic gag. Yeah, great.
Legally Blonde.
Can she be Miss Universe, or whatever it is? Legally Blonde. Oh, she's a lawyer. What? You know.
Woman lawyer. Ooh. No, it's got to be sci-fi fans.
Sci-fi fans. That is.
We watched an excellent film the other night, didn't we? Part of our kind of Christmas program.
Snowpiercer.
How good is that? It's a mad film.
It's so good.
It's based on a French graphic novel, and the name, it's called like...
Le Transmogrifique or something like that.
Le Trans...
Triontage.
Transnierge or something, isn't it? It's like...
I mean, I'm making...
Yeah, but it's
French.
About... And the film is directed by a Korean director. The name escapes me, but it's very...
He directed The Host.
Yeah, and it's that same kind of style. Really quite crazy,
amazing.
Really violent. And it's about a train that's the only, as far as you know, got the only surviving humans on it in the world because the world's been frozen by some crazy chemical problem.
Climate change.
They've had a problem.
Yeah.
There's a chemical there.
Well, it's a chemical that they release... Because of climate change, they
and it's and the train is like it's got Chris Evans in it, it's got Jamie Bell, it's got Tilda Swinton's wicked cast.
It's amazing. It's got
a couple of really cool Korean actors.
Yeah,
and it's the train. The back of the train has got all the kind of underclass who are let on.
This train is like miles long.
The cast is miles long, and then as you go further and further up the train, it gets more and more fancy, and the kind of upper class people live on end.
And they've built like an ecosystem inside the train.
And it's just this mad kind of martial artsy, violent. But really comic book. It's really good.
So do check that out. It's on American Netflix. You might have to hide your proxy.
All good VHS outputs.
Science fiction and fantasy. Is
yeah,
that
you liked that
with?
One, didn't you?
Brilliant.
That was
all right. Brilliant. What kind of pet would she most like to have?
I know this.
A. Cat. B. Tiny dog.
Tiny dog. Oh,
C. Big dog.
Oh, big dog on campus. What's that?
That's me preparing in anticipation for having a big dog.
I don't know if that's going to be the one, mate.
D, a snake.
Which you'd probably enjoy.
To an extent. I've never really got... Like, I genuinely find snakes quite scary. It's one of the things that, like I've had a couple of friends who have snakes, and I just find them a bit unnerving.
Do you know what? It's just because you're like, you give off this image of being such a fucking macho, bike-riding man.
Me? I don't give
that I just think you'd have loads of, like, scorpions and snakes.
I trip
and
over
fucking lizards up your ass.
Like, I'm not cool. Like,
oh, yeah, but that's why you need a snake to be more cool. And what's the last one?
An exotic bird.
I know! Ooh! Like, if you had a fucking huge bird of paradise on your shoulders,
I wouldn't have an exotic bird. Yeah. I'd have, like, a gull.
Something that should
not be kept as a pet. And
that's
isn't aware that it's a
pet.
That's
what I mean. You'd have this crazy, loud, enormous bird. not necessarily like, beautiful, but just like it's got like three horns
and it's always just grabbing fish from people.
And it only eats like gammon and
beef. Oh yeah, is that, and I just
and
I
every
throw
time
him,
you throw burgers to him.
Oh wow,
it's got to be big dog.
I mean, it's got to be big dog.
Big dog,
I can't
big wolf
wait
dog.
To have a big wolf dog. Can you imagine a big fucking wolf dog?
If you know what, if we ever run a Kickstarter, which I don't think we ever need to, because we don't need to get money from this. If we did. The only target in there is like 20 grand and it's just
we'll
big,
buy a
big
dog.
Dog.
Big dog. Yeah, big dog.
We'll and he'll appear in the podcast. Pictures.
He'll appear in every podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, question six. You tell her you'd like to take her dancing spontaneously on a Friday night.
We've done that once.
Yeah, exactly.
And it went
and
awfully.
It went so badly. Like, not even nearly successful.
I don't think we had even one step of a dance.
We convinced ourselves we could be like the cool guys. But then we realised they weren't the cool guys.
We're
neither were we.
Sharking for chicks on the...
God. On the hit in the town.
Oh, fucking God. Right. Oh, wow.
What is her likely reply?
Okay.
Okay. No thanks, I'd rather stay home.
Yeah, props.
How about if we have a romantic dinner for two instead?
That means dinner, then a fuck.
That, in our context, that means, hey, could do that. Or you could cook dinner. C. Sounds great. Let's go.
I don't think I've ever heard those four words.
Four. I have something more fun we can do alone.
Borderlands.
Or E.
Compare that theories about Game of Thrones.
Yeah, exactly. Or E.
We could do a quiz.
This one sort of ties in with that, but I think it's meant in a wrong way. E. Let's stay in and watch the game instead.
Which we do.
Which literally means watch Yogscast.
Which
because they
we
are
do.
Playing a game.
You are most likely to. I think you're actually most likely to say, how about we stay in and have a romantic dinner for two instead? I think that's the most.
You know what? That is.
Because that will be the centre for any other activity.
Yeah,
that will be prime activity.
How about we go for a beer and then we'll spend the money we would have spent going out dancing.
On oysters.
Like a prick. On oysters, which I don't eat. I've had oysters once. And I don't get what all the fuss is about.
You got the big horn though, didn't you?
I did.
The waiter there in the waiter.
No,
so it's been a very sexually aggressive show.
I know,
show
I'm
so
really
far.
Sorry. No, like,
I'm just, sorry, I'm the
no,
witness.
I got given oysters in Harrods because I was with a person who had a Harrods gold card.
Fucking hell, who
was
that?
I'm not going to say because I don't want to embarrass them.
Oh, it was...
you know
it
who
was,
it is.
Claudia Schiffer.
It was Claudia Schiffer. Yeah. Me and Claudia go way back. We used to just hang out. but yeah, like, he showed his gold card at one of the, like, the food hall things. And they were like, oh, right this way, sir. And they gave us champagne and oysters.
Fucking hell.
Like, and we were like skanky 17-year-olds. Like, it was, oh, man.
What a day.
So I think, I think
skanky
you're
skanky oysters with a skanky
romantic
patty.
Dinner for two instead. Brilliant. Next question. How would you describe the way she dresses? Okay. A. Like a girl?
Question mark?
With a question mark?
I know, I understand that, because I'm saying, like, I don't know, I'm a man. She dresses like a girl. Yeah. She's got tits.
Yeah, whoa, I don't care.
Yeah.
B. Like a diva.
You do dress like Dame Shirley Bassey.
Yeah, I know.
All the time.
I really like Shirley Bassey.
I'm ready for da-da.
C. Like a tomboy.
I mean, die by default, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose. Or D, stylish but comfy. I'm not really stylish.
No, do you know when you are? You
I dress comfy.
Like, and you do dress
does.
Stylish. It's not like, oh, I'm styling cool. But, like, you have a style, and it's quite, I quite
it's
enjoy
quite unique
it.
Unique to you.
It's no, but it's, I mean, you know, not to make you feel, like, not individual, but you kind of dress quite 90s, grungily, with your hat
sort
and
of
your
budget
jeans
Stone Gossamer Mike McCready.
Which is just kind of like how I half dress.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, well,
yeah,
dress
we're
like
very similar.
Shoreditch hipster as well.
That's the thing, you've got stuff that fits you. Quite nice.
Like,
you've got all that, like, kind of, and you've got those jackets. What are they called? The jackets.
The jackets. Like,
they're waterproof for
wax
one.
Jacket.
A wax jacket.
Yeah.
Like a kind of shooting coat. That's it. Whereas all my coats are just how long can I find?
How long? Can you go?
Like, exactly. Okay.
So
reckon?
I'd say I reckon like a tomboy though, because
like
you are you. Actually, that's very good because you dress like. If a girl was described as a tomboy, she would wear what you
that
wearing.
Is true.
She would wear a beanie and a check shirt and jeans.
Yeah,
and
yeah. And people go, oh, she's such a tomboy. But actually, that is how I dress. Okay, like a tomboy. Let's go for it, man.
Like a tomboy. Beanie for the very first time.
Nice. 8. How would you describe her hairstyle? Tread carefully, Laurie. Nothing fancy. Elegant, like a movie star.
No.
Long and sexy.
Yeah.
Or short and simple.
It's definitely not
just
short
like
and simple.
You.
Oh, I'm short and simple.
I mean, come on.
Nothing fancy, no, because it's pretty fucking fancy. It's definitely long and sexy.
It's definitely long and sexy.
So
and
I just
no, I, even I'm with you on that.
If I saw your as
that is my
said,
one redeeming feature.
If I saw a tomboy with your hair, I would be all over that.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, though, you don't have, you know, the requisite parts.
9. How does she feel about technology? A. She's a whiz.
You didn't say that properly. It's a whiz.
Whiz. She's a whiz. She's a whiz. B. Not her whing.
No, that's no.
D. No, C. Her only whinterest is her whypot.
No. What's a whypot?
Or D. Whee's what whooper into whoo whack. But we can hold her own if needs we.
She's not super into New Tebow, but she can hold her own if you need be. In English.
Well translated, Lawrence.
Not Welsh.
Welsh.
This is quite a sexist answer here, right? Because you can't actually say she's a whiz or it's not her thing. There's not really like a lot of middle ground,
she's
is there?
She's
a
nerd. Hold her own if need be.
I mean, like, you're a bit of a...
This question sort of says, like, well, you clearly know everything about technology because you're a guy.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Like, can you rate her? Like, because you're somewhere in the middle. I wouldn't say that you're an utter, like, tech whiz, right? You're not, like...
I'm not a whiz, but no, I'm pretty... I'm jab hands.
But also, like, most of us our age, like, can use a computer convincingly, right?
Yeah, we're whizzes.
I'd say, yeah, I don't know.
This is, after all,
maybe
a whiz.
Maybe it's the last one. Maybe she's not...
A whiz, whiz. I am a whiz at these whizzes.
Quiz, 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 quiz. Anyway, I think you're not super into new tech, but can hold your own if need be, because I don't think you buy all the latest
that
shit.
Is, that,
you don't have,
actually,
like, an iPad
absolutely true.
And a bum scanner, and, yeah. Like, you know, you wouldn't get...
And I really
glass.
Like my old tech. Not in
You've
a sort
got
of,
your
I
big,
like
fat, old
mode,
iPod.
But, like, I've got my
yeah.
really old iPod, just because it's the biggest iPod.
Did you see they're now selling for double the price that they were new, because they've discontinued them?
Oh, really?
Anyone who's got a new one. So I've got my broken one. I might try and fix it.
Oh, man. Hello. Well,
ka-ching!
Okay. Not super in, but can hold her own if needs be. Yeah. Sweet.
You can hold her own dick, more like.
How does she use makeup? A. She's good at making herself look beautiful.
Aww.
I'm not enjoying these answers. B. She's too shy to use much of
That's
it.
You. That's the only reason you don't.
C. She rarely uses it. Mm-hmm. Or D. She loves making herself up into a zombie.
Oh, fucking because makeup addict
yeah,
prick.
Yeah, whoa. Okay, so what do you reckon about my...
You're too shy to use much. It's exactly that. Spot on. You tried to put on some lippy ones. And you're like, no, I can't possibly go out like this. You know, I'm just so bloody...
The world's not ready.
Oh, okay, we've got the answer. What's the answer? What's that
you should get your girl a naughty negligee.
Yes, I knew it!
A negligee?
Yes!
Okay,
oh,
hang on. There's
perfect.
A little descriptive bit as well. Your girl has a great body.
How do
Don't
you
know where
that?
I got that from. Don't know, no idea. And enough sexual energy, fine, to heat your home... Through winter.
Not true.
Trust us, she'll be happy to show her appreciation. Fucking hell. It's just, get her upset.
And then she'll bang you.
Yeah, because then banging.
And and lower energy costs too, mind. Thrifty bang.
I might get Falcon Vendetta to post that on Twitter. I'll email him about
okay.
it. All right, sweet. Well, that was
a wonderful waste of time.
Little quiz. Now, you have to come good on your end of the podcast.
Okay, give us a tick and we'll work out who's bananas for bananas.
Oh, what's over there? Look, everyone! Children, come to the window! It couldn't be! Is it? I think someone's brought us a...
It's
another.
Christmas! Yeah!
I ruined it, didn't I?
Now, I was recently on the brave island of Jersey.
Oh, the brave? Why brave?
Oh, because, he's had a tough time, hasn't he?
No.
The Jerseyman.
It's a tax haven, they've got good cows.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's, you know, far away from the UK, it's got an autonomous government. I think he's had quite an easy time.
Well, no, I mean, they've been ravaged by warfare.
Really?
Yeah, weren't they, like, kind of a stronghold that the British and the French, like, kind of fought over and...
Right, when we made a serious Paddy.
Anyway.
This is a comedy thing!
No, sorry, I was on the island of Jersey, and basically, I was with four other comics, and we had a show there, and then we stayed there all weekend, and it was lovely. And we went walking down by the beaches of Jersey, we were all sat, walked into the sea together. It was really sweet. And then
one killed yourself
all in full,
together,
all in full suits and briefcases,
left your old lives behind.
Yeah, exactly. We all just agreed this was the end. We were playing a game out there that I'd completely forgotten about.
Okay,
that I thought I'd tell you about because it's a really
was it
fun
bugger the bishop.
It's called Bugger the Bishop.
Oh,
and I see who can bugger the bishop.
Quickest.
Who can do it first? Who can, no.
Oh, I'm done!
It's called the sitcom game, and okay. I know that's a really boring name for a game. Basically, the premise of the game is one of you mentions, it's quite a sort of wanky comedy
It's
game.
A comedy thing.
It is kind
oh,
of a comedy
good.
Game. So one of you says a sentence or a couple of words that could be the name of a sitcom.
Mm-hmm.
You totally make up. Right?
Okay.
And then the other comics between them have to come up with like the premise,
okay.
who acts in it, when it's set, where, everything, and the hook, right, and what the hook is, and why it'll sell.
Okay.
So, basically, I figured we should play that game, because I fucking love that game.
Oh, I bet you did, and you it's wanky comedy type.
The kind of thing that you'd really enjoy, because you're a wanky comedy
type.
What
if I try not to enjoy it actively?
Do you...
What if I try really hard, have a bad time?
Well, I mean, you
What if I stab myself with a pen throughout, just to ensure I have a shit time?
I mean, you could, but that would... It'd be a waste of resources.
I'd have a great... Who goes first? Well, that's what
I was thinking, why don't you give a title first?
Oh, okay. Well, all the pressure on me.
Well, if you give a title, I'll do a sort of explanation. Okay. And then you can join in whenever you want.
So, do you mean something like... what about... A Rolling Stone gathers no floss.
Okay, no, that's
great.
Is that
good?
Yeah, like, contains a pun, like... Okay. All right, okay.
I mean, a pun. That's a very mild way of putting it.
All right, so here we go. Thomas Stone is a runaway dentist.
Okay,
right.
He's a Rolling Stone.
Fugitive, yeah, he's Rolling Stone, right. Fugitive dentist because he was involved in a scandal whereby he gave someone too many teeth, right? Too many teeth, like way too many.
Okay.
Not even in their mouth.
Just like all
over
their
face. He
put them
under to give them like a wisdom tooth operation and he just started fucking shoving teeth in there.
I don't think dentists have the ability to do that.
So he goes on the run, right? And he's got a little knapsack. But on the end of it is like a little handkerchief that's filled with all of his little dentistry tools.
Yeah.
And he goes from town to town, right, like fixing people's teeth in exchange for kind of like board and room.
Okay, right. When's it set?
It's set in like the late 50s.
Oh, great. Okay, so it's all like kind of, he's quite cheeky and it's...
Yeah, and it's English countryside kind of heat, but he's from
like
the big city.
Board housewives and stuff.
Exactly.
And he gets a bit, oh, no, I don't know what to do.
Exactly. And but everyone wants to see the dentist.
Oh,
yeah,
I see. The
Thomas
sexy
Stone.
New dentist from London.
And he's obviously played by Richard Ayoade.
Like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing in this situation.
And he starts to realise that actually... He, like, through meeting all these different people, he starts to see the error of his ways. Like, that's sort of the end,
putting loads of teeth
the end of
someone.
Season one is he maybe falls in love with another dentist.
Flossie.
But he can't...
Flossie.
Flossie. There we go. See, this is what I'm talking about.
Well, what about the dog's called Flossie?
He finds a dog.
He finds a dog, a lovable
but
dog.
But how would he
Flossie's
gather
a
no
good
floss?
Name. Because he realises that in order to... Maybe it's the girl. Maybe he realises that he has to settle down and move in with Flossie. So a Rolling Stone gathers no more.
And then
floss.
Season two can be him living with Flossie.
So the season two is called A Steady.
And she's
stone.
A hygienist.
Oh,
so they have a sort of lovable...
And then and then it's a, you know, a good old
who
fashioned...
Who plays Flossie?
Who plays Flossie?
Julia Sawala.
I don't actually know who that is at all.
She was in Ab Fab.
Oh, you're the daughter in Ab Fab.
Yeah,
okay.
Saffron.
Saffy, yeah.
Saffy.
Saffy.
Yeah, it's Julia Sawala. And the dog... Is
is
played by Ronnie Corbett.
Oh, I don't agree.
Is that in a dog costume? And it's never mentioned. But
he's in like Wilfred in a full like with his head out, but otherwise in a dog costume.
He's very small.
Oh, that's a great hook.
So that would be a Rolling Stone gathers.
I had in mind. I mean, I don't want to.
Now give me your idea.
Okay.
That's what this is all about.
Oh, so I do it as well.
Well, no, you can.
But mine's really not sketched out. But mine was just Mick, pretty much quite similar. Mick Jagger on the run. As a rogue dentist, but he's a Rolling Stone.
I just went with Thomas Stone.
But it's more that he just consistently fucks up as a dentist assistant because he never has any floss.
Yeah, and also like he doesn't know what he's doing.
No, he's Mick Jagger.
He's Mick Jagger.
He just pouts and goes,
and he's really good. Yeah, exactly. But gigs keep getting in the way. Like he's meant. I'm meant to be on stage in 5 minutes,
but
there's
a
patient.
Golden Crown.
Brilliant.
Okay, go on, give me one.
Right,
I like this.
I'm gonna give you one. Okay. Okay, alright. Now this one includes punctuation, and that's a big part of it. Okay.
Okay.
It's called
wow.
Boy, that smart. Okay,
oh,
it's boy,
comma
that smart. Exclamation mark.
That's
boy, that smart.
I don't think that works for a sitcom pun type. I'm gonna go for it anyway.
No, it does.
Okay. So
boy, that smart.
Boy, that smart. Okay. Ellen Page.
Okay.
Is a transfer student to a posh boarding school in kind of middle England.
Okay.
It's set contemporaneously.
Okay,
but it's not the kind of St. Trinian's like anarchic thing.
Yeah.
It's a very backwards
like stone.
Like, yeah, like incredibly fusty.
Yeah.
And she goes then, her, or maybe it's a very sad start, like, you know, her dad dies and it's only been her dad bringing her up. And in his will, it says, look, I always wanted for you to have good schooling, so I've put loads of money aside for you to go to the famous Abingdon Boys like School.
Her dad is Andrew Lincoln.
her dad is Andrew Lincoln, who's been killed by the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
And you go, oh, okay, Dad, I'll sure go over. You know, in a little Ellen Page way. And she gets there and realises, maybe it is Abingdon, and you realise that Dad signed her up for an all-boys school.
Oh, no.
And that she, the hook is that she is pretending to be an English rugby bugger. But like, you know, but maybe she's still the American transfer student at this boys' school.
Yeah.
And God, but the thing is, she's way cleverer than the rest of them.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the amount of work she has to go through to look like a man every day involves like putting on like fake beard and like a full beard, and it really hurts every day. So every day she comes home and something. So in the first episode, it's her taking off his prosthetic beard and go, oh boy, that's smart. Every episode she gets into a scrape. She comes home and she sees the kindly old housekeeper who's played by Robin Williams as Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, what did you get off to today? And she goes, boy, that's smart. And she like, and she's like got a swollen bum.
So then it goes a bit cheeky chaffy.
Yeah, yeah, like, but when she's there, it's quite a kind of gritty thing about how she's
cop drama.
Not cop drama. No, it's about her at an all boys school realizing that, you know, Britain's producing horrible sexist men.
Yeah,
And she can't do anything about it, and she's constantly in problems because she wants to speak out about that.
Maybe she falls in love.
Yeah, with one of
with
the
Michael
girl.
Sarah.
With Michael Sarah, aren't they? And then she gets pregnant and has to hide being
and
pregnant.
Has to hide it.
Why is Michael Sarah at like a posh boys' school?
Well, that's the thing. He's like the awkward boy who doesn't fit in with all the like rugby buggers.
Okay.
Or whatever,
yeah.
And like all the rowers.
But she somehow is A, really clever, and B, also like a great hooker.
Yeah. Oh, but maybe because Michael Sarah's gay, they fall in love, but then boy, that smarts, because it turns out she's a woman, and he has to reassess his sexuality, and she, if anything, has to reassess hers.
That's a great little bit,
right? So, because I was thinking cheeky chappy from the start.
Yeah, well, but I think there's an element of cheeky chappy, but it's actually got quite a grim undertone.
Yeah, exactly. I was imagining Ronnie Corbett again, right? And he's dressed up in like a tiny schoolboy's outfit, and that's the and he's maybe kept by Ronnie Barker.
Oh, but he's but everyone knows he's an adult, but he's
but
like. Been kept back at school.
They have to keep up the pretense that he's
well, just to fuel his little.
And every time he gets told off by the teacher, who's, you know, 20 years younger than him, he goes, "Boy, that's smart."
Oh, nice. Like, that kind of thing. Like, oh, that's much better.
No, I like the whole Juno thing.
Yeah, I know, it's just a bit tweed.
All right, okay, hit me with another. Do you think this is a fun game?
This is really fun. Okay, I've got a couple of really good ones. Okay, this is one where there might be a suggestion of the casting in the title if you're ready.
Okay,
caught between. The Rock and a Hard Place. Caught between The Rock and a Hard Place.
Okay.
Who do you think might star in that?
Okay, right. Okay, check this out.
Uncle Steve Austin.
Check this out. This is going to be fucking fantastic. Okay, Michael Fassbender.
No!
Listen.
Where's Dwayne?
Michael Fassbender is straight out of college.
Okay.
Okay, he's
the great white hope. He's the fresh young thing.
Yeah, exactly. This is Michael Fassbender in the early stages.
Yeah, yeah,
Fassbender.
Young Fassbender.
Yeah, so young Fassbender.
Pre-cock reveal
has
Fassbender.
Just, and it's set in Germany. Right.
Okay,
and he's just come out of like a technical college. Like he's, you know, he's very, you know, very good at engineering.
Modern,
yeah,
or is this like...
Yeah, this is modern. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is set in sort of... the late 90s.
Okay.
Okay.
Post.com boom.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So Fassbender's come out, and like he's engineering, maybe he's computer science.
Yeah.
And they're on the verge of this kind of massive, you know, like the internet is about to massively take off.
Artificial intelligence.
Right. But
maybe.
Here's the thing, right? What his mum's dead.
His mum is the rock.
No, his mum's dead, right? His dad's still alive.
Okay.
And his dad does not want him to go into this internet business.
Oh, I know where this is going.
No, his dad, who is a famous fisherman, right? He's a famous fisherman. Who runs a fish and chip shop, like Rick Stein's.
Oh, right? No, I thought you were going to say, like, frozen fish.
Yeah, no. Check this out. And basically, his dad is famous because that he also casts his own bronzes.
Okay.
Right.
Good.
And the casting above his shop sign is a cast place.
Okay, the hard place.
Okay, and his dad decides, I don't want you messing with any of this instant stuff. You're going to run the family business and become a fisherman.
Okay.
Right. And Fassbender is torn because he's sort of started this startup business with his friends going into a .com.
Okay, but like Facebook boys.
Exactly.
Okay.
But his dad draws him away to become a fisherman. But that's when Fassbender realises that his real dream, he's been running away from his whole life, is he wants to be a wrestler.
Oh, excellently
right,
done.
Okay, but okay. He hides that because he has all these expectations from the fish shop and from his college.
This is kind of, I reckon this would be really amazing if it was set in Germany.
Yeah.
And like quite a kooky, like, what's the one that your man from the IT crowd does? Like that one, the one set in Ireland. Moon Boy. Quite like that, quite like whimsical.
Exactly.
Okay.
So basically, he really wants to be a wrestler, but he holds this back, and you only see it in certain glimpses. Maybe he gets into a fight at school, and you see him do this amazing thing that everyone goes, whoa, and
he does a stone cold stunner.
Yeah,
people's elbow.
He looks down at his hands. Right, and then, right, so one day, he's out on the fishing boat with his dad. Okay.
And he triple suplexes
and,
at Marlin.
And his dad's got his scuba gear on, right, because his dad's going for deep sea fish.
Okay.
Right? Dad says, you look after the boat.
Deep sea fish
right?
in a lake.
Yeah, okay, yeah, deep sea fish in a lake. Right. His dad says, you look after the boat, and he dives in, okay, goes down the bottom, and the bubbles are coming up or whatever. Fassbender sat there with his fishing rod, and all these thoughts are going through his head, and then this little boat comes up next to him and sat on it. It's Dwayne Johnson.
Dwayne Johnson!
Who...
With one cocked eyebrow. All
yeah, exactly. Who looks at him, and he doesn't know if he's... And he goes, like, you fishing boy? Or something like that. And he's
and suddenly,
and he's, like,
he's caught.
Yeah. And then he... And so... And The Rock is like, you see, I'm in a bit of trouble. I don't want to...
I need a wrestler.
No. The Rock is like, I don't know how to, I'm in a bit of trouble, you see. I think that's The Rock's voice.
He's not.
I'm in a little bit of trouble here, see? I'm trying to catch me some fish. But I don't know hell how to do it. And hell how ninny.
Hell ninny, I crush these fishadies here.
And Michael Fassbender says, well, I can help you with that.
I can help you with that.
I can help you with that. For some reason, then, like the Rock is fishing in Germany. We have to make an assumption here.
Near Dusseldorf.
He helps The Rock fish.
Okay.
Right, and then The Rock says, hey, do you know anything about that there internet? Right. And he goes, well, actually, yeah. And he goes, we're trying to start...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Up a www.wwe.com.uk. And he's trying to set up this website, and he says, well, I can help you. And The Rock gives him his card, right? Just at that moment, his dad comes up. And his dad he's holding all these fish, but he's in his diving kit.
Have you ever been fishing, Paddy?
Yeah, many times. And he's batting them on the side of the boat, you know, all this kind of shit. And he's like, boy, you are going to have to choose whether you take the wrestling life or the fisherman's life. And he's literally caught in between
the rock
and a hard place.
Okay, I see what you've done there.
And he tries to do both, right?
And ends up... people's
and he starts mixing them up at work.
So there's shots of him
in the wrestling ring, right?
Because
The Rock eventually he progresses from designing the Rock's website to a wrestler,
being the understudy.
Like the understudy, exactly. And he's in the ring, but he's flying
pebble.
Fish.
He's called the Pebble.
He's flying fish, and someone goes, "What?
Oh, did you miss that? He's called the Pebble.
The Pebble. He's called the Pebble. Very well done." And he's flying fish, and then suddenly he's in the fish shop, and a customer comes in and is like, "Hey, can I get me some Rock fish?" And he just fucking moonsaults him. So that's between a rock and a hard place.
That's very good.
And there you go.
That's very good.
All right, I've got for you.
My very brief, by the way, synopsis of that one.
Okay, hit me. What was yours?
Someone goes on a hiking holiday with the Rock,
right?
And they fall down a cavern, much like the film 27 Hours.
127 hours. Amazing.
And they get literally caught between the Rock
and
the Rock.
Is there any way I can help you?
The Rock is literally like wedged him in down the hole.
Oh, and they become
unlikely friends, but it ends with them both dying.
It's Michael Cera.
No,
and the Rock is also played by Michael Cera. Okay, wow. Right, here's one for you. Okay, this one's going to be pretty obvious.
Okay.
This one's called Happy Go Clucky.
Oh.
Okay.
I've got this one instantly.
Okay.
Adam Sandler.
Yes!
Stars in his first feature-length film for many years.
Okay.
Well, like 6 months.
Yeah.
And it's... it's the sequel to Happy Gilmore 2.
Okay.
And it's... I don't need to tell you, do I? And
he, no, come on, Happy Go Clucky. What is he doing?
So one day he's playing golf, as Happy does, but in his suitably cavalier manner.
Yeah.
And still the guy going, "Hey, Happy! You jackass! And as he shouts that, Happy skews one off. I can't do an Adam Sandler voice, I'll do it. Skews one off, and it goes over one of the hedges, and it hits in the head this huge, wealthy Texan. And just hits him in the head, and falls over away.
I thought it was going to hit a chicken.
No. Hits this wealthy businessman of some Adam Sandler.
White suit.
Exactly. Like big 10-gallon
hat. Yeah, 10-gallon
hat. Guns, inexplicably, on the golf course.
Ooh,
not even playing golf. He's just jumping and clicking his heels.
Firing guns.
Yeah, woohoo! And Happy comes over and he goes, "Oh my God, sir, are you okay?
Gee Willikers.
Oh my geez." And he turns him over and he's just dead. Like, there's a massive hole in his head and he's just died.
Oh.
And he's like, "What do I do? What do I do? Oh, jeez." And in a fit of complete idiocy, just puts on all the stuff, dresses up as the thing, throws away his golf clubs, and he goes to all his pockets, and he runs away from the police, dresses as the prospector, and finally sits on the bench, "Well, I got out of there.
She wins."
And he phones his mum, goes, "Mom, listen, I'm not going to come home tonight.
Really good Adam Sandler impression,
I've got something else to do." And he goes to all his pockets, and he finds like his car keys and his wallet.
Yeah.
And eventually he unfurls this big scroll that's in the, and it's the deeds. Call back to another ensemble film.
Yeah.
The deeds to the guy's chicken farm in like Idaho.
The guy that's called like Robbie Cluck.
The guy calls Captain. Is Captain Cluck?
Captain
Cluck's crazy coop is the place.
Yeah, Captain Cluck's crazy coop.
And he unveils a document, and in the bottom, in tiny script, it reads, "If in the unfortunate incident of my death, I do declare that the entire ownership of my farm and all the little chickadees on it will pass to the man who slays me in single combat."
Well, I guess that means me.
Well, gee, I guess I've got to go take care of the farm now. And then there's a short, like, lawyer montage with Jeff Goldblum playing, like, the cynical, like, DEA prosecutor.
Yeah, yeah.
Who, like, "Well, I find it highly irregular." And he's a recurring character who keeps coming, but it's always... I'll tell you in a minute when he comes up again. Basically, in the end, Adam Sandler wins custody of this place, but in the entire torture he's still got the hat on and he keeps shooting his guns halfway through. "Mr. Sandler, will you stop?" Sorry, Mr. Gilmore, it's Happy Gilmore, will you stop?
No, but then, I think he's Clark.
Yeah, no, they don't. No, because he's honest.
He isn't Clark.
He's honest in the end, but he still turns up to court and everyone, and like the women, like, "Ah!" Like, his wife's there.
Yeah.
Captain Cluck's wife, and she's disgusted.
Mr. Clucky.
Lady Bill Cluck.
That's brilliant.
And then the rest of the series is quite a grim look at how he manages this chicken farm, and it turns out they're all kept in really horrible conditions.
Oh no.
And then when the prime, you know, suppliers to McDonald's, and it's all about him trying to change it for the better, but he keeps coming up across a bureaucracy, and
yeah,
like,
yeah, of course.
Oh gee.
And Jeff
Goldblum. And Jeff Goldblum is the hook, because every week he is a different government official who's come to look at it.
Okay,
so the first week he's like the health inspector, literally exactly the same, like glasses, same hair, just a different suit and like a different name badge every week. Same briefcase. He goes, now I've noticed some irregularities.
Yeah, of course.
And every week the episode ends by some kind of chicken escapade.
Yeah.
Orchestrated by a hapless Happy Gilmore. And every episode ends with Jeff Goldblum getting like herald, like it all ends up fine because Jeff Goldblum gets like herded out of the thing. And
I'll
it goes,
get you,
yeah, yeah, no, no, yeah. And he goes, well, and every episode ends with Adam Sandler staring at the camera, winking, go, well, thank Cluck for that.
Oh, yes. Oh, perfect.
Oh,
I was
you set that up.
No,
though.
You took that so well. That was the correct direction. I was moments of Happy Go Clucky is basically a man with severe depression gets told by his therapist that he needs a change
and gets a pet chicken.
And so no, he leaves his wife, leaves his family, and just goes to live amongst the chickens.
Like as a chicken.
Yeah, exactly. And he learns from them, and they become his best friend.
He starts laying eggs.
And then, right, and they're in the rainforest or something, right?
Yeah.
And then, deforestation.
Where chickens are from.
And then the big companies try to take down the forest that all the chickens live in, because they're forest chickens, right? You know, bear with me.
Yeah.
And as the trees come down, he basically becomes like a freedom fighter for the chickens, like kind of guerrilla warfare. And he trains the chickens.
Chick Guevara!
Oh, mate, you see, look at this. It just writes itself. And he basically starts it. And he, of course, is played by Chris Addison. and he has to, and he leads the chickens in this charge back. And everyone thinks it's very funny because he's actually this quite scrawny British guy who suffers from a
actually,
severe
he's
mental
the most
illness.
Most chickeny of us all.
But actually, yeah, he's the real fowl.
No harm, no foul.
And the, the second series could be called Foul Play.
Foul Play.
Yeah, okay. So that was, it's definitely Chris Addison. By the way, who plays Cap'n Cluck
Cap'n Cluck.
Happy Go Clucky.
Cap'n Cluck is played by Brian Blessed doing a really bad Texan accent. Well, who's a nanny here? Whoop, whoop, whoop.
I thought it would be him. All right, okay.
Cool. Looks like I'm going to have to shoot in tarnation. I see ho.
Right, hit me with another.
Okay, so I've got a couple left, but I've picked one now, which I think you're gonna.
We can always save them. If people like this bit, we can do another bit of it.
Ring in, send in your own suggestion. Email in your own suggestion, boys and girls.
Oh yeah, that's actually a fantastic. That wasn't
good.
Even planned.
It wasn't even not even written down here. As always, it is podshambles@gmail.com
or
at podshambles
on Twitter or podshambles on Facebook or. What other formats are
you
there?
Can shine the shamble signal in the air and one of us will come to you.
Yeah.
That is a guarantee. You ready?
Okay, alright. What have you got? This better be good.
Bee's Company. Like Three's Company.
Bee's Company!
Bee's Company.
Oh, brilliant. Okay. Okay. Alright. Okay. Right. Okay. Erica B.
Yeah, I like it already.
was a lonely 20-something.
Okay.
Living in Philadelphia.
Is it? And is his or her name? Is it Eric OB? Like he's
no,
Irish.
It's Erica. It's Erica. But oh no, maybe she should be Irish.
Eric OB.
Eric OB. Eric's for her name is Eric. Okay, so Eric, female Eric.
But it's spelled Eric. It's spelled like E-A-R-I-G-H-T-C.
Yeah. So it's Eric OB. And she. All right. So she's from the Emerald Isle, right? But she moves to Philadelphia because she has a sort of midlife crisis,
okay?
Where she decides she needs to follow a new direction in her life, right?
Played
okay.
by
what?
Played by.
Oh, Susan Sarandon, but playing someone much younger and unashamedly.
Susan Sarandon can get away with that.
Absolutely. Definitely. So Susan Sarandon, she moves out, right, and she's, you know, so she is then living in Philadelphia,
mm-hmm.
where she is trying to start a new business, right?
I wonder what that might be.
Bee's Company, okay? Right. And the business, okay, is in flowers, right?
Okay.
She wants to start a big floristry business. It's like a mail deliver thing. Like, you can order them and they can get sent to people's houses or dressing rooms or whatever, you know, people buy flowers for.
Yeah.
Okay, so
just surprising.
So it's called Bee's Company, and maybe it's called, like, Flora Fusions, okay?
Okay, well, shouldn't it be called, like, you know...
Oh, no, it should be, like, Emerald Isle Flowers.
Or, like, yeah, like Emerald Isle Flowers.
It should be called... Wow, okay, it should be called...
Par Flowers.
It should be called, like, a, like, clover, or, like...
Or maybe, like,
an Irish rose? What's the equivalent of an English rose in Ireland? An Irish tulip, a thistle. An Irish thistle.
I don't know. I don't know any Irish flowers. Giant's Causeway.
Giant's.
maybe it should be like.
It should be called
The wind. The wind that blows the barley or something, like a really grim
shamrock. It would be like
shamrock around the clock.
Shamrock around the clock. There you fucking go. And she's selling flowers, right? Okay. And it is very much bees. Here it can be. Okay. And the flower business isn't going so well.
Of course not.
Isn't going so well because she keeps getting robbed.
What about all the bees dying?
No. You're jumping ahead.
Oh, sorry. Miles. Sorry.
Okay. So it's not going well.
Okay.
Because she keeps getting robbed. Okay. By people, you know, like just thieves.
Peeps.
Who want flowers.
Philly.
And they come in and they take flowers. And flowers are fucking expensive.
Yeah, right.
And she, you know, maybe they're like another company or something like that. And then she sits there at night and cries a lot. Okay. And every night she's just crying and she's weeping. And
I don't know how I'll keep up all the bees.
yeah. And so Susan Sarandon is in floods, right?
Yeah.
But, okay, she copes with it. Her coping mechanism is she talks to the flowers.
Okay.
Okay. And she's talking to the flowers every night. She tells them all of her problems. Like, I wish you'd stop getting robbed so... And all this kind of stuff. And then, one day, a little bee flies out of a daffodil that she's been talking to.
Yeah.
And he lands on her ear, and she doesn't fear bees.
No.
She's a florist.
Who would
he lands on her ear and goes, well, Felicity, what was her name?
Eric.
Well, Eric, I have a proposition for you. And she goes, a proposition, do you say? Right, and the bee turns out to be part of, like, a bee mafia.
Oh.
Like a cartel. Okay.
Well, Eric, I've got a proposition for you.
Otherwise known as the company.
Oh, nice.
Okay, because
Bee's Company. Oh, Bee's Company.
And it's Bee's Company.
And it's all Bee's Company as well.
Bee's Company. But also, it's the Bee's Company
who
are based in Bee's Company.
Nice.
I mean, it is fucking great
Bee-ception.
Already. And they basically say...
Who's this played by?
The voice of the bee is Danny DeVito. The first bee.
Surely! Eric, listen!
Listen.
Rumham!
Rumham. So basically, he tells her... that if she starts buying, like, particular types of flowers... Because bees know the most about flowers. They go and, like, scope them out,
right?
And they bring the pollen back. And she just has to make sure that she looks after the flowers that they pollinate. And then they grow so that the bees can keep spreading and having more bee babies.
I'm really sorry. All I can see is Danny DeVito's babies. Danny DeVito's head on a bee
body. It's a head on a bee body.
And
a, hey! And he's got glasses on.
The same guy with the same mad hair.
Yeah, exactly. So she starts by... And in return... Like, the bees basically stop pollinating all of the other suppliers for the other flower shops.
She runs like a bee protection racket.
Exactly. And all the people that keep robbing her just get stung to death.
Terrific.
Bees just fucking swarm them, and she can never be blamed for it.
What do the bees get from it?
And she starts building apiaries and all this kind of shit.
Great use of apiary.
It's a lovely word, isn't it? What do the bees get from it? The bees get all the flowers that they want.
I see.
And they're allowed to all live in her shop.
She goes like... And they can, like, request special, like, illegal flowers and
exactly.
stuff.
Exactly. And she like, maybe to make drugs.
Yeah, yeah. Also, like, poppies.
So she's also sort of starting, you know, like yeah, exactly, like an opiate trade with the bees. And the bees are dealing the drugs.
Yeah.
They carry the little bags.
In their little sacks on their legs.
Their leg sacks, and they're taking drugs to everyone, right? And all the other flower companies have gone bust, and no one goes, why? And they go,
do you know what you should have? Do you know what you should have? I'm really sorry to interrupt this. There should be a supporting character, which is the drug mule. Sanchez, the drug mule, who turns out just to be a mule who carries drugs for them.
Oh, fuck yeah. And all the animals.
And all the bees, he does it is he has to, all the bees who carry the drugs go up his bum and stay in his bum while he goes on the transatlantic ferry.
And
And who plays that mule is the other question.
Eddie Murphy.
You can't do that. Not every single donkey in any comedy ever.
Mike Myers.
Okay.
No, but basically, here's the other thing.
Okay.
Yeah, there's all these mules. So all these other animals talk to it. Maybe she can talk to animals. That's one of the main things. Right?
Maybe the bees tell her how to.
Yeah. And she's, you're never alone at Bee's Company, right? Because of all the animals.
Because she
speaks
to
animals.
They
think she is alone, and they think she's still severely depressed or whatever it was that I originally said. But the other thing is that there's a twist at the end of season 2, right? And she's saying, like, we'll have to stop worrying about the otters. We'll have to stop worrying about them. Like, because all of the other companies are starting to go bust. Turns out she hasn't been saying others. She doesn't want the other companies.
Otters.
She's been saying otters.
Oh, wow.
Right, okay. But no one was able to tell. Because she was talking about the otters.
She's got an Irish brogue.
And it's the same thing that I noticed in Irish. Is that the words error, error, and error are exactly the fucking same.
What are those three words?
Era, like E-I-R-E, like Ireland, right? And then error, the thing that you air clothes on. And then error, as in an error in judgment.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, so
Aryan,
and then the otters come into it in season three or whatever it is, and like, and basically it's just jam-packed cast.
Are they like the Russian mafia?
No, the otters are played entirely by the cast of the TV show Recess. And they all have the same names.
So, Mikey.
Yeah, like Mikey, Vince.
PJ. PJ?
TJ.
TJ.
TJ Detweiler.
Gretchen.
Spinelli.
Spinelli.
Mrs. Gus.
Finster.
Gus.
Mrs. Finster.
Oh, Mrs. Finster.
Hockey King.
Randall.
The Hockey King.
Oh, the Hockey King. Oh, fuck, that was so the Diggers. You know, they'll all be there.
Okay.
And then we get to enjoy Recess again. Because of Bee's Company.
Okay, I'm going to have to discount the Recess bit from it because you've just lifted that. Otherwise, great.
Okay, great.
Otherwise, great.
All right.
What's my final?
What was your thought for Bee's Company?
My thought for Bee's Company. I can't actually remember. It was mostly because our good friend Abby has a little kitten called Bee.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking it would be like a really adorable kind of kids sitcom about how,
like, Animal Hospital.
Yeah. No. How she runs like a little business of kind of, but it ends up being a front. It was quite similar, a front for catnip trade.
Okay.
And she's actually a big, and like she comes home every day and Abby's found, oh, look at you, Bee. Little.
And she's called Abby.
Oh, exactly. Right. Yeah. Even better. Oh, point away. This cat is called Bee because his full name is Beaker, which I thought you'd appreciate because she squeaks like Beaker. She's fucking wonderful. I went to visit her while you were visiting your brother.
Oh, fine. Seeing all the women now, are we?
Yeah, that cat is sexy as shit.
Wouldn't it be amazing if I revealed now that I was a woman? And you already knew, and everyone just assumed because of my voice that I was a man. No one ever seen me.
Well, that'd be one in the, you know, that'd be a very good...
That'd be a twist.
That'd be a very good twist. Sadly, not true. As mentioned before, you know, we both got dicks.
Yeah.
And we use them a lot.
Fair enough. Right, I'm going to give
you my line of one. Okay.
Right, your final one for today. I think you're going to like this
one.
A lot of these have been out of place so far.
Okay.
Goose lips.
Goose lips sing chips.
Goose lips sing chips.
Goose lips. Oh, well, that's basically been written for me.
Yeah.
So, similar again to a story we covered before.
All of the stories are becoming one story.
Okay, so, I mean, practically writes itself.
I mean, it totally does. That's the thing.
So, Captain James Marlin.
I love how you've already got the title.
Yeah,
you've already got the name.
Oh, yeah, so he's... Played by Rupert Everett. Okay.
Oh, lovely.
But like
okay.
a slightly, not quite fat suited, but you know, slightly made up to look a bit old and gouty.
He is curmudgeonly.
Yeah, he's a captain on a small cruiser set in World War II, obviously.
Lovely.
And they are stationed somewhere near Norway, somewhere that's not seeing a lot of action. You know, they're sat on this ship.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And he's there because he had an exemplary service record in World War I. He fought the Afghan. Oh yeah. And he's been given this quite nice little shufty.
Okay.
And he's very posh. He's very gouty. And he misses terribly his wife, Maribel, who died
of consumption.
Of consumption in the 1940s. and as a result, his ship is also staffed by relative newbies, who I think are cadets in the Navy.
Okay.
I don't know. And, you know, he keeps a fairly tight ship, but they have a bit of a laugh. And, you know, they have gin and poker night once a month.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, it's all kept pretty above board.
But bridge.
Bridge.
On the bridge. Bloody hell, what an idea!
His world is shattered one day.
Mm-hmm.
His world is shattered when an American transfer, who's a lieutenant rather than a lieutenant,
as we say, nice.
played by Ryan Gosling, turns up. And he's
beautiful
man. He's a war hero, sir. I fought in a lot of wars. He's not done anything. He's like 22.
Right, okay.
But
he thinks he's fucking Captain
And he's like this sexy man, and he is, of course, Lieutenant Goose.
Okay.
He's only what he's known as. And he's
brilliant.
A complete Lothario. Mm. He like encourages badness, all the other cadets. He's like, hey guys, why don't we just go out and get a beer? You're in the middle of the ocean,
yeah,
but he takes off all the dinghies, and
he's a maverick.
You've hit the nail on the head, Paddy. He is a loose cannon. He is
like a
loose goose on this boost. And basically, the storyline centres on them just trying to survive the war. And it's a bit grim, but, you know, people die every week, but it's okay.
Yeah.
But the one running moment of consternation is the fact that Lieutenant Goose finds out that Captain Marlin has a very delightful young daughter. Played by Karen Gillan, of course. Who's Scottish, inexplicably, sure.
Yeah.
And basically, he sees a photo and goes, wow, Captain, what a gal you got in there. You got to give me her number. all right, this stuff.
Okay, yeah, he doesn't know.
Goose, you may not in any circumstances speak to my daughter.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the setup. That's the setup in season one. They come home from war, okay?
Oh, they're home from war. Okay, yeah.
That's only like maybe the first two episodes. Okay. You know, it's kind of quite quickly dealt with.
Like The Wire.
Yeah. Yeah, swiftly dealt with, like The Wire. And then he gets home. Captain Marlowe gets home and he's very tired. He puts his hat up. And then his lovely daughter's there and welcoming him. Oh, Daddy, hello. I'm so glad you're home. And then he goes, Daddy, I've got some news for you. This is very heavily based, by the way, on Cuckoo, if you've ever seen that.
Right, okay.
And he goes, Daddy, I've met someone wonderful. And who should it be? But Captain Bloody Goose. Oh. He's bloody turned up.
Whoa!
Right, his pipe falls out. And basically he comes straight in and kisses the daughter.
Goose!
Right. Normal setting, right? Normal setting. Until a tear in the space-time continuum hurtles them forward into the Cold War, right? They go forward into 1965. They're back near Norway on a boat, and somehow it's all explained, but he's a captain again.
Shit.
And maybe there's not a discrepancy. Maybe they just age, but still, I think it should be funnier. And they're back on the boat, the dad, Captain Marlin, his daughter, and Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, Goose.
And basically, the rest of the series is them trying to kind of regain their sanity in this new world. And he's the captain. He goes, well, fire all the flak cannons. And they go, sir, we don't have any flak cannons. We're all on pulsars now. I don't know what they had.
Like in the Cold War.
Yeah. We're all on nukes. We've got nukes coming out of our ass. Mm. And Ryan Gosling keeps fucking up because he keeps kissing the daughter and not firing the guns like he should do. So.
Brilliant.
And then the ship sinks and they all die.
Oh, so he sinks the ship. I thought you were going to go down the path of Wild Goose Chase.
Maybe he has
to chase him through time.
Oh, that would have been really good.
Because he runs away with his daughter.
I'm not going to lie, mate. I really ran out of steam on that one. I thought it was a great idea to start with. It's a great title.
No. I think you really went for it. Yours is much more down to earth than what mine is.
Okay,
of Goose Lip Sinks.
There's a surprise.
So mine is set in a Japanese village in the run-up to Pearl Harbor.
Oh, wow.
Okay, right. And basically, there's a farmer who's called Shinji, right? And he lives in this, and for his whole life, he has farmed geese. That is his job.
I'm so surprised you said that with a straight face.
I know. That is his place in the world, and he finds peace in that, and he loves that. And their entire community is based around this goose farm.
Mm.
Okay, and then in the run-up to the events of Pearl Harbor, when Japan enters the war, right, like troops basically, that conscription comes in, and people start getting taken away from the farm.
Yeah.
The goose and the goose farm starts to fail. Okay. And like, or he's losing all of his men, but this guy's too old to fight,
mm-hmm.
and they're all getting taken away, and he has to work out a plan as to how to get the goose industry back into the books. Okay, so he comes up with.
So he
goes to high command, and he,
I know where this is going.
He's a scientist as well. It doesn't mention that, but you find that out later that he was a scientist in his younger days.
But he had to pack it in because he killed his wife.
Yeah, no, because he had a duty to his village to become a goose farmer, despite the fact that he's actually a very good chemist.
Oh,
okay,
brilliant.
He starts custom genetically breeding geese.
I think you have to be a biologist for that, rather than a chemist.
He's a biologist. Right? But the chemistry comes into it.
Yeah, sure.
He starts custom breeding and genetically splicing geese.
I think I know where this is going.
So that their beaks are the hardest alloy
diamond
known to man.
Beaks.
Basically, even stronger than diamond. Like adamantium beaks, right? Like, that's what he's doing.
He makes the Weapon X program in Japan.
He starts doing that, and he basically, through his son, who gets conscripted into the army, he gets a meeting with the Japanese High Command. Right. Yeah. Exactly. And
who's playing Shinji?
Shinji Kagawa, former Manchester United.
Cool. And who's playing the son? What, Naruto? Jesus.
His son is played by the guy.
You had to think of a Japanese actor, and you came up with Shinji Kagawa.
So his
son, that's how acting works.
Inexplicably played by Joel McHale. Right.
There, would you light it up?
Yeah, exactly.
He starts texting.
Joel McHale. he gets sent. He's in the army. He gets his dad a meeting with high command. And his dad proposes this idea that they somehow weaponize the geese.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, the idea is they're going to somehow propel these geese into the American ships to sink them. And they decide that you can't pilot geese. And the geese, because of all the shit that's been done to their beaks and the alloy, their brains are now very small. And the geese can no longer learn.
So they're loose geese.
Which is what he was working on before. These are least geese. You know. And
least geese.
And so, basically, ends up as a forefigure at the front of the war.
Right.
As he comes up with the idea of building these planes that are shaped like geese, that have this alloy on the front of them that can pierce through the armour of the hull of a ship.
Yes.
And then he he causes Pearl Harbor.
Oh my god.
Right, okay. And then it's a gritty war drama and he kills himself. And meanwhile, but meanwhile,
with a goose.
But that's the stabs himself with a goose.
Hoisted by my own petard.
People keep dying, and they have these holes in them, and they leave a beak like on there. Maybe the geese. No, the geese who are unhappy that are now being bred for warfare. No, the goose village who is now thriving because they have so much business because these geese. They realize they've lost their core values. They've lost everything geese that made farming. Them geese farmers.
Their gooey goose egg center.
So yeah, that's the thing. They start That's it. The geese farmers who aren't this guy, because this guy's gone rogue by this point. He's at high command, whatever. The geese farmers start killing people with geese. Untraceable, right? Because the alloy's so good, can't be traced. Yeah, exactly.
On.
It just looks like someone stabbed them with a sword, but there are never any prints.
I think there's only other feathers. Yeah,
only
I think that's pretty fucking obvious.
And then it's about in the aftermath of Pearl Harbor, the Japanese government working out that it's actually this one village responsible for all the murders of like every Japanese troop. It was chaos. Like they're just killing everyone.
That's really dark. So what? The Japanese end up saying, "Oh, well, we." Now and then Hiroshima and Nagasaki happened.
Yeah, exactly. And that, if anything, was caused by him. And it all comes back to this lowly goose who was a goose with a dream.
I mean, that's weird, man.
But it does mean goose lips because of their beaks.
Yeah, and sink ships. You don't need to spit out of that. I was pretty
goose.
Goose.
I'm very happy with this as an idea.
You
fucking would be when
fucking goose.
Well, I got them Christmas blues, cause my baby ain't got me no Christmas shoes. No Christmas shoes. Them shoes was a present from my goddaughter. She sold them to buy some Christmas booze, and now she drunk. She's so drunk, I want a Christmas up inside of you, woman.
That's not okay, mate. You
not
can't do that.
Not in reference to the daughter. It was in reference that got really weird, really queer. I got the blues, yeah.
Incoming transmission from the good people over at Haribo.
Do you want?
What would I like?
No.
What?
Would you like?
What?
Banana choco
flakes.
Vanilla choco balls.
Van choc bow. Like Rochambeau, but vanilla choc balls. Van choc bow. Fly me to the yogurt. Australia.
Right. What have we got?
I'm doing some distance sound checks. I'm doing some sound checks over distance.
Why are you doing more?
I was recording the whole time. And here we are, eating our yogurt.
Having crunchy corner break.
I got
Vin Chocbo.
I got Van Chocbo. What do you get?
Beflak.
Beflak. I'd say Banflak.
You would.
Captain Banflak, will you take me to the bridge?
He's already saying
take me to the bridge. Captain Banflak.
It's when Bruce Banner finally gets with Ben Affleck, and as a celebrity couple, they're known as Banfleck.
Bruce Banner?
Yeah.
Why would he meet Ben Affleck?
Where would he meet?
Wouldn't he
meet...
Gamma Lab.
Next to the Gamma Lab.
Captain... Next to the Gamma Lab. What are you always talking
next to the Gamma Hand.
About Gamma Lands.
Well, yeah, and I told you that they're a ensemble rather than an instrument.
I'm still sure that a gamelan's an instrument.
You're still wrong.
We're going to look it up after this.
Listen, mate. I did GCSE music, and it's not very good for an awful lot of things, but it did tell me what Indian gamelan was.
I'm talking about the Indonesian
gamelan. That's what I meant. What do you mean?
I caught you out. Oh, you think they're all the same, don't you?
I'm going to Google it now.
Google it now. Oh, can we do that whilst recording?
Obviously.
Get the tap tap.
What do you
tap,
think happens? It goes
tap tapping.
No, I've gone.
Of tiny keys.
Right, I'm prepared to be wrong.
If we had children that were keys.
Ah, suck it!
Come on, that's
a trick. Gamelan is ensemble music of Java and Bardi in Indonesia, made up predominantly of percussive instruments.
Okay, hang on.
Metallophones and hand played drums called kendang.
Okay, hang on. Maybe I'm thinking of.
No, maybe you're just wrong.
Instruments. What did I play?
No, you didn't.
I didn't
play any of those.
No, I went.
Don't try and make up a story. When I was in Indonesia, they got me on a kendang.
I've never been to Indonesia.
Cultural context. It's never say Paddy Jervis is the prime player.
I'm not
of
a cultural, you know, four figure of gamelan. But when I was applying for uni, one of the unis I applied for was Kingston to do music.
Kingston.
And they were like, oh, you should check out, like, oh, you could learn gamelan. And then they showed me one of these, a bonang.
Yes.
But I assumed that was a gamelan.
And you've been working on that false assumption all these years.
You thought it was from India, mate. I'm just saying.
No, that's just a slip of the tongue.
A slip of the tongue, a slip of the Freud, more like. Slip of the gamelan.
Look, not everything.
What does gamelan sound like to you? Does it sound like. I don't know. Mother dick. Oh, God.
My Christ, buddy. We need to get you in a bath immediately.
Sir, I need to finish this yogurt.
Don't forget, it's not just Christmas at this time of year.
There's Hanukkah and Susan's birthday. Happy birthday, Susan!
Happy birthday, Susan, from all at Podshambles HQ.
Don't Christmas kill yourself!
Oh, God.
I made it dark.
Yeah.
Watch out! It's the quiz flipperoo!
Whoa! I am so excited about this quiz.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Feel like this is a redundant quiz because I feel like you're gonna. You know your attitude to bananas, as I've said.
I love bananas. Okay. If anything, I'm bananas for bananas.
Well, it's funny, Cody, because this question, the first question is, hey there! Would you like a banana? They're so yummy!
Yeah, they are!
Are you bananas for bananas?
Hopefully the quiz will determine it.
If this was an actual quiz show on that ITV, that would be brilliant.
And then one of the contestants is always a chimp.
Yeah.
And of course he's bananas for bananas.
And he always wins every time.
And he's got all the he's putting them in his whoop, whoop, whoop.
Okay, number one. Your favourite type of split? Question mark.
Can I guess one of the answers?
Okay.
Is banana one of the answers?
I mean, why don't you just wait and see?
Okay, all right.
Hajduk split might be one of them. I mean, the famous Croatian football team. Number one, an amicable split.
Oh, like a relationship.
Yeah, exactly. Number two, a gymnastic split. Whoa.
Can't do
flexible.
That. I used to be able to do splits.
Number three, bananas.
Bananas.
Okay. Are you sure?
Yes.
But what about an amicable split from a girl in the answer?
Can I find a friend? Had?
Okay.
Hello? What do you want? Hello? Is it banana? Banana? Hello? Banana? No.
Bananas, that's definitely the way forward.
Yeah, that guy knew what he was talking about. Okay. Question two.
He's calling back. Hang on, I'm just going to hang up.
No.
He's gone.
Hello? Banana? What? Banana? Who's it? Who? Banana? Banana? Bye! No.
Wow.
That made me really laugh.
When
I'm sorry.
Finished. Question two. You grab a piece of fruit from the fruit bowl and out comes...
Grapes!
A. An apple.
An apple way.
B. Banana. C. Grapes. D. Well, lovely lemon. Why would you have a lemon in a fruit bowl?
Can I
say that? Eat it.
That's not a lemon.
Is it not?
That's a grapefruit or an orange.
No. It could be an orange, yeah.
You know how a lemon's shaped like a lemon?
Oh, fuck you. But that's like, it's got like a weird little nipple on top of it.
That's the stalk.
Yeah, but I wasn't really looking at it properly. It could have been a lemon. All right. Some kind of citrus fruit. Or a lovely shapely pear.
You know, I'm very much a grab and go kind of guy.
Okay.
I love grapes, don't get me wrong. But
you can't really grab
grapes are an evening
grapes.
Time.
If you try and grab grapes, you're just going to smush them all.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you're gonna have wine all over your
ass. Why the fuck would I do that? Yeah. I mean, I think I'm going to go with banana.
You sure?
Yeah, I think.
They're quite handy.
Or pear. Actually, you know what I'd do? I'd take two bananas.
Yeah.
A pair of bananas.
Double banana, one for the bum, one for the face.
Fuck off.
Okay, question three. What would you do with an overripe banana?
Okay.
There are only two options, okay?
Okay,
the nuclear option is just toss it. Does that mean like toss it off or just toss it?
What, throw it away?
Yeah, throw it away. Or the second one is make banana bread.
I mean, I have to be honest here, I've never made banana bread. I love banana bread.
Would you get someone else to make you banana bread, maybe we should say?
I would get you to make me banana bread.
Okay.
Or I'd ask you.
Fair enough.
And you, I'd you say probably yes. wouldn't. Zach would do it.
No, Zach would do it.
Zach's really good.
Number four. Excellent question coming up. Okay. What is your favourite Mario Kart item?
Oh, wow.
Is it A, Superstar, B, Triple Banana, C, Green Shell, or 4, Banana Peel?
I like the skill involved in the Green Shell.
Yeah, I hate to boast, I'm a dab hand with Green
Shell. I know you are, That's yeah. like because people used to think of them as just a waste. No, but man. You know what, a Green Shell can be twice as effective. You can
bounce them really well.
Exactly, you can start throwing shapes, you know, all that. But one Green Shell isn't quite worth 3 bananas because you can throw the bananas.
Superstar?
You can throw the bananas for. Yeah, but it's like getting the hammer in Smash Brothers. It's like, oh well, it's just like, oh, you're invincible. Like, oh great. Whereas like I much prefer the skill involved in throwing the bananas forward, because if you're behind someone and you throw a banana in front of them
and you get them on the
and then they go yeah. and they spin off, it is fucking great.
Okay.
And then you get in front of them and drop another one on them.
Trip ban. Okay. What is your favourite treat at an amusement park? Is it A, cotton candy, which is candy floss to you and me? Is it B, a turkey leg? And this is so American.
A turkey leg?
Who goes to a theme park and buys a turkey leg?
Well, you know what? It is Christmas. Snack.
Or D, C, even, chocolate dipped frozen bananas from the banana stand.
I've never had one, definitely. Don't get me wrong, though. I love candy floss. I don't.
It's literally sugar. It's fluffed up sugar. You get the same thing from eating candy floss as you would just by eating 3 tablespoons of sugar.
Yeah, but something about candy floss makes
it better. Also like £8.
Well, yeah, but that's...
Buy a bag of sugar and be happy. Okay. Well, anyway, frozen bananas. Okay, this is just... true or false? Okay. Bananas boost libido. They certainly boost mine, because when I see a banana, I get an incredible urge to fuck it.
Oh my God!
It's Christmas!
It's Christmas!
I've been drinking the port. I'm all horny. It's all Christmas. Oh, all watch
God,
out.
You're like a...
Watch little... out, Santa Claus, because I've got a big old banana for you.
Larry Leper.
Larry Leper.
Yeah, with all his parts falling off, and he's still going for it. Bananas boost libido. Yeah, why not? Of course they can. Yeah, of course. It's a banana, right?
Question 7. Bananas make you happy, true
yes,
or false?
True.
We found that's definitely true so far. Okay, question 8. This shit is bananas.
B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
That's the first option, is B-A-N-A-N-A-S, or just 3 question marks, which I think is...
Ooh? Well, I mean, it's... Everyone knows that this shit is bananas, B-A-N-A-N-A-S. And then they all know how to spell bananas.
Okay, get result.
All right.
Okay, are you ready?
Okay, what's my answer?
Paddy, you are... I can't believe this. You are 100% bananas for bananas.
Yes!
You are, in fact, it suggests, loco. For bananas, which is less impactful.
Yeah, exactly.
100% bananas for bananas. And there's a lovely photo of a young lady who is wearing a hat made of bananas with 2 little banana phones. I was excited. If you look up cray cray for bananas, you'd be the top banana.
Cray cray?
Yeah, crazy. It's one of those newfangled street terms for crazy.
Oh.
Crazy. Cray cray.
I don't think I like it.
Alright, yeah, but you would be the top banana.
I like bananas.
Well, have a... Banana-rific Christmas, you lot.
Oh.
Banana you, banana.
And a happy banana year.
Banana.
But hey.
Banana. Banana.
Have a banana.
Banana.
Spoiler alert, Kaiser Soze. Spoiler alert, Dumbledore dies. Spoiler alert, life isn't worth it. Why not end it all now?
Oh, mate, spoilers?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I have to kill myself now.
Oh, I'll shut.
Shit. Well, now, listeners, we've got a special little Christmas treat for you, haven't we, Paddy? A little speck of Christmas crack to send you on your way.
Little guitar, having a little sexy time.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, listen.
Oh, Christmas!
It's my grunge Christmas.
I don't think grunge is very Christmas.
She left me in the summer. Because it was not Christmas.
Well, it's funny because some people do hate Christmas, don't they, right? And some people love it. We love a bit of Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you and I have always been champions on it. Not like chosen.
We have championed
Christmas. We're not the chosen champions.
I am the Christmas champion, chosen by fate.
The gates are open.
for Christmas.
That's the Lord of the Arena.
Nice.
Sorry.
A little Hearthstone gag.
We're
talking about it a lot, though, and we agree, right? The best ever Christmas there ever was.
Oh, man, I know exactly. It's 1998.
1998, of
Christmas,
course.
1998.
Because, of course, Star Wars Episode 1, Phantom Menace, was released in 1999, and that was... the end.
Wank.
Wank.
Oh man, it was that was the turning point. Was it was the day that the music died.
So the day that, you know, our childhood innocence was lost, and you know, we opened up to the fact that nothing's sacred, not even bloody Christmas.
Oh, and there's like it showed us that our childhood memories and all those things that we hold dear could be dredged up and sexed up and shoved back in our tiny little faces in order to sell more Christmas shit.
That's horrible.
Oh
God.
Man, I know, it's just fucking
big old Christmas,
much
cock.
Like Christmas nowadays. Hello.
Well, I mean, God, look at that bloody Sainsbury's advert. Oh, that's a contemporary,
yeah, a little contemporary, nice topical.
You know, with the using World War One just to sell more fucking puddings.
Yeah, exactly. It's like I mean, look at Jar Jar. Look at what they did with Jar Jar.
I'd rather not look at Jar Jar.
Man,
and his
fucking hate Jar Jar.
Fleshy face.
It's just like it's just shameless manipulation and it's emotional blackmail, neatly concealed in adverts that are kind of dressed up to look like art.
A horrible little streak of poo in your Christmas pud.
Yeah. So we want to end this shambles year with a little shambles treat for you, which is
It's all about the two sides of the Christmas coin.
It's all about two sides of the coin. This is a little song for you guys, and it's called "Nothing Is Sacred." Isn't Christmas bloody lovely? The winter moon glistens on the pale white snow. Children's laughter echoes softly through the tinsel timbers of my family home.
No distraction from the darkness, from the 9 to 5 or the rise of UKIP. But we'll keep reveling regardless. We can worry about the world after January 5th.
Isn't Christmas fucking awesome?
Yeah!
Up as an elf and I'll drink till I'm sick.
I'm so motherfucking happy. I'll eat a whole goose and I'll rip off my dick.
Never mind that they might privatise our healthcare, cause grandma's sleeping in the armchair. Shh. She might be awake, she's not all there. She might be dead, but we don't really care.
Cause Christmas is a balance between light and shade. It's a disappointing jumper and a wealth parade. And Dad gets racist, but even that's okay, cause apparently that's something that comes with age.
We forgive and forget at this time of year, overlook things that we once held dear. The shameless adverts, ridiculous cheer, suddenly the hatred begins to clear. And what would it take me to convince you that for every sin there is an equal virtue?
And for every dark side there's a light that breaks through. And for every Jar Jar there's an Ewok or two.
I mean, remember the fight between Yoda and Dooku.
And the breathtaking beauty of the planet of Naboo.
And remember the trust between Qui-Gon and Windu.
And C-3PO and R2-D2. Even robots can love
in paradise.
Robots can love in a galaxy far, far away.
In a galaxy for you and me.
Christmas me.
The Force Awakens. In cinemas, December 18th, 2015.
Book now to avoid disappointment.
Hopefully. Because they wouldn't do it twice.
They fucking better not. Merry Christmas, Shambles!
Merry Christmas, Shamblers. Thank you for another excellent year.
See you.
But we will actually see you sooner than our last Christmas.
We won't be an 8 month break. We've got some really exciting stuff. Choose Your Own Adventure is coming back with a fucking vengeance.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be savage. We're going to be telling you all about our new housemate. That's very, very exciting. Alan Rickman might drop in.
He might pop on.
Kermit might return.
Oh, good.
Engine Room Phil is already sharpening his hooves.
And
which
his
have been
knives.
Blunted from kicking himself so much. By accident because of his tumour. Oh, God. And what else have we got? Oh, and all kinds of things.
Christmas!
You'll see a YouTube channel. How many times have we said that?
Merry ones for you.
Have a good
yours.
One. Oh, no. Oh, I'm back.
Oh, fuck.
Crump and George went on a tiny little adventure to Toilet Town. Oh, what did they find at Toilet Town?
Toilets!
Yes, you were correct.
Another toilets!
Yeah, but also...
More toilets!
No. Big. Strangely enough, they found the corpse of Jessica Tandy. Long dead.
No.
Theatre Grand Arm.
You can't keep bringing her back from the dead. Both that joke and Jessica Tandy.
All right, fine.
You've turned it downtown. The mic is lower than before. Down... volume, periscopes can go down to trousers down, everything's looking up for you.
Boy, this is gonna be the best Chris Dingle I ever did make.
My accent was somewhere between,
you know... Whoa, golly gee!
Shush.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.